Arrow Precision pushes the boundaries for modern sporting rifle builds and machines receivers from custom forgings for added strength and durability. Arrow Precision delivers top quality American-made products at an affordable price. ArrowPrecisionUSA.com.
Made it through 3 hours of the regular show on terrestrial radio, and you wanted a little bit more, so that's why you found the Gun Talk After Show podcast, where we saved all the best things that we can't say on regular radio. Now here's Tom, Michelle, and Jim for the Gun Talk After Show.
Time for the After Show. Jim McKenzie's joining me. Michelle Cleland's here. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
We had a fun, good time today. We got to talk about it. Colt and Federal and Remington and all kind of cool stuff.
Oh, ammo.
Ammo, guns, primers, oh my.
Oh my, that's right, and primers, yeah. A guy said he found primers for 4 cents each. I'm thinking that's a good deal. I want some of that action.
Right?
Heck yeah.
You know, sounds good. I just found a place where I could buy, okay, you'll love this, blemished bullets. And they say they work fine. They've just got like cosmetic, you know, issues with them. So I said, well, what the hey? I'll buy some of those.
Why not?
Might as well.
And I'm not even reloading. I just didn't make the conversation.
Yeah, I just love the idea. I got to buy some bullets.
But they'll really be blemished once they're shot, so it's all right.
This is true. Once you shoot them, it doesn't matter. It makes these weird little spirally marks on them.
Well, you're assuming that they're going to stop. I mean, what if it never hits anything? It's going to travel forever, right? Is that how
this
that
is
works?
True. Oh, no, but only if you go into space. Then you do all the whole space things. If you shoot a bullet in space, yada, yada. And there's all sorts of fun stuff you can do with that. You
know? I don't even know if it would work if there's no oxygen for the powder to go off.
That's a good question.
It's got its own, yeah.
That's a good question.
Wow, very scientific, guys.
It is.
All right, enough of this foolishness. Mark, save us over here, man. Mark's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. How you doing, partner?
I'm doing all right, Tom. How about yourself?
I'm good. What you got there?
It's kind of a range report. It's kind of a walk down memory lane, though, too. You and I think, are real close to the same age, so we can remember some of the golden age of military rifle bolt action imports in the early 60s into the mid 1960s, when the U.S. was awash with a lot of stuff out of Europe. Anyway, I'm holding in my hand a cartridge which you might not be very familiar with. Maybe you've never fired it. It's called 8x56 rimmed Hungarian.
Nope. Don't know anything about it.
That it was ever made. It's a European military cartridge, Austria and Hungary, straight pull, bolt action rifles. The reason I call it a range report or whatever, this cartridge shows on its rim that it was made in 1935. So it's 86 years old. The brass still looks like brass. The primer is still clean. The bullet is still clean. If you shake it by your ear, you can hear the dry powder still inside the cartridge case.
Right.
And the thing that always kind of, when I was at a younger age, that amazed me about getting a love affair with old rifles going was the care that was taken in manufacturing the rifles and their ammunition. If I found myself in a wilderness area with a rifle that was chambered for this cartridge and a wolf was coming at me looking real hungry and real angry, and if I pointed that rifle at him at like a distance of 10 yards or whatever and pulled the trigger, I think the primer is going to function, the powder is going to do its job, the bullet's going to run down the barrel, and that wolf's going to have a hole in him. And for something that was manufactured 86 years ago to do the job that it was initially set out to do just fascinates me.
Isn't that interesting? It's
a little corner of the wonder of being connected with, collecting old guns, shooting old guns, being, in love with the gun culture, if you want to put it that way.
No, I understand completely. It's like, when you go out and shoot a 1911, for heaven's sakes, you think, okay, this is a gun that was designed actually about 1905, adopted by the military in 1911.
116 years, yeah.
Yeah, we're still using this darn thing, and they just work great. So, yeah. Mark, you're not strange at all. Well, okay, maybe you might be strange, but you're strange in our kind of strange way. So we all can understand that, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you listening to me for a couple of minutes, Tom. Keep up the good fight.
I appreciate it. You take care. It is kind of cool, though, isn't it, guys, when you can – I was just looking at a couple of my dad's rifles back right after World War II. One of the things they would do is they would take those Army surplus, war surplus 1903 Springfields, and they called it sporterizing them, and take those horrible military-looking things and take the action out and bend the bolt handle and do different things. And he had two of those 03 Springfields sporterized, one in 30-06, and one is actually in 7mm Remington Magnum he got it chambered for. Very cool.
Yeah.
Sporterizing, cool,
also called butchering if you're a collector.
Oh, my.
There's that, you know, if you're a collector, but who cares? I don't
right.
care about
they're
the collector.
They're made to shoot, right.
You know, and in this case, they're actually, there's some pretty nice stock work on it, and people were doing a lot of fine work on those. And you could, remember, Michelle, you get the stocks from Fajan and Bishop?
Yeah.
Way back then, and everybody had those, you know, you'd buy a stock, and it'd be a semi-inletted or a semi-finished stock.
Right. And there's people that will actually buy parts to build one so they aren't actually changing the original format so they can sporterize it so they can put the sights on it or the scopes on it and drill
right.
a tap and
swap
not feel like,
out, yeah.
yeah, so they're not actually damaging anything that's authentic.
Right. Yeah, I understand if you're into the authentic and the collecting and all that, you don't want anybody to do anything to it. Me, I just want one that shoots well and carries well and feels good. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and I would not go butcher an old gun for that. Besides, these days, you know, for what, $400, you can buy a very good bolt action rifle.
Oh yeah.
Right out of the box, yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to shoot better than any of those old rifles ever shot. It's pretty crazy. I mean, you pick up what a Savage, a Ruger, you go walk your way up a little bit in price to get the Tikas and all of that. Somewhere between $400 and $700, you get a rifle that's going to shoot half-inch groups, which would have been really unheard of.
Right. Well,
way
for
back then.
$1,500, you can get a case, scope, gun, the whole shot.
Oh yeah,
and
now,
it's, you know, it's
maybe not
on.
Maybe not ammo, but at least right. something
well,
else.
Well, no, that's another $1,500 to get a box of ammo.
Right.
Hey, we got an interesting call here. We've got Steve on line four.
I know what you're doing. You're going all whispery on me because you're going suppressed.
That's right.
Steve, Fargo, North Dakota, talk to me about this banished suppressor. What is that?
No, Banished 22. It's a brand name. Banished.
Oh! I thought somebody had banned a suppressor.
Yeah, me too.
No. I took
from Silencer Central.
And that's exactly where I got it. It took a year. It took over a year to get this darn thing.
Yeah.
So just crazy, all the, you know, either some of them come quick, some of them don't. But, man, I wish they could change that law and you could buy them over the counter, because shooting suppressed is an absolute game changer, especially with young shooters. I had a 6-year-old and a 11-year-old and a 13-year-old out, and we had a Kimber Mountain Ascent with a Silencer Co. Suppressor on that. Awesome gun. It shoots, it kicks like maybe 22, 250 if that.
Right.
So the recoil's gone. It shoots so accurately. We had those targets that change colors. It was it's unbelievable how well that little gun shoots. And then we had a brand new. I just got it. My 11-year-old's going to deer hunt this year. It's a Savage 110 Ultralight in 6.5 Creedmoor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got that carbon wrapped barrel. Never had one of those before, but wasn't my best trip to the range. I forgot the Allen wrenches to adjust the elevation on the loophole scopes, both of them. So it wasn't on paper, and I couldn't lower it anymore without the wrenches. So we're going to have to go out again. Oh, darn. But the 22 suppressor was amazing. We fired Hornady, like high-velocity hunting rounds in 22 Magnum out of a Caltech carbine. And that gun is an awesome kid gun because it has that collapsible stock, so you can set it up for who's ever shooting it. We put that 22 on, that suppressor on there, and we shot it with hearing protection. I said, okay, guys, we're going to test this out. So we took our hearing protection off, and we shot it. And I don't know if it's hearing safe. It's probably pretty close. It was modest. I wouldn't shoot it without hearing protection. But then I was digging in the range bag, and I came up with 3 22 Magnum rounds that were just in the bottom of the bag. They had just lead bullets on them, just old-school lead bullets on them, right? I had no idea what they were. We put those in, they were subsonic. I don't know what they were, I don't know what the bullet weights were, but they were probably, you know, 900, 1,000 feet per second. Uh-huh. That gun, I kid you not, you could hear the action. You could hear the rounds hit the bank 50 yards away.
Right.
And you could tell they were slow, you know, because there's a delay.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was, the kids could not believe it. Well, the one kid's a big airsoft guy, and he goes, that's quieter than an airsoft gun. And it was.
Oh, they are.
Wow, Magnum, yeah. about an 18-inch barrel suppressed. It was really, it wouldn't cycle, though. You had to single load.
Yeah.
It wouldn't cycle
down.
But, man, it was fun.
It's funny you mentioned the Banish suppressor. I just put in an order for a Banish 30, the 30 cal, and I figured I could use that on most of my center fires, you know, because anything that's 30 caliber or, you know, smaller diameter bullet, and can shoot those and swap them out. So, but same deal. I mean, probably looking at 7 to 10 or 11 months to get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, just, you know, it's one of those deals. You just go ahead and put the order in and then don't think about it, because, you know, if it drives you crazy and never put the order in, you'll never get the suppressor.
And the longer you wait, the longer it takes.
I just got a Silencer Co. 12 gauge, that big goofy looking thing. Have you seen those?
Yeah, it looks like a shoebox on the end of your barrel.
Yeah, it looks like a shoebox and then your barrel. You can. My kids are yelling at me, but it was fun to shoot, and it makes a big difference. I was just shooting, just doing some trap shooting with it, but you got to get used to it because it's a big old chunk of aluminum out there swinging it around, but. It's so fun to be able to shoot a 12 gauge. I have neighbors. I'm on about 20 acres, and you know I want to be neighborly. And you can shoot without that roar. You know, they still know you're shooting, but mm-hmm. it just takes that rip out of those guns.
Sure,
it's so nice to do that.
And I'm guessing that when you got that big thing out there, it's pretty hard to stop your swing.
you will keep swinging. There's no stopping it. You have to forcibly stop that gun from swinging.
You got to learn to say pull fast enough so right. The time you spin around.
Yeah, I was going to ask that question because it's got to change the whole sport with one of them on there.
Oh, yeah. No, you would have to practice a lot. I mean, you can hit stuff, but competitively or whatever, you'd have to shoot a lot because the balance of the gun is completely off.
Sure.
I mean, it's just a big old piece of aluminum or titanium or whatever it is hanging out mm-hmm. there. But mm-hmm. it's not visible. You know, it's all below the barrel, so it's not like it's messing up your sight lines or anything. It just feels – I had it on a Benelli Super 90. You know, the old – that gun's about 30 years old, one of the first ones that they imported into the States. And
that's a nice gun.
Low. I don't shoot it. Yeah, it was real nice gun.
Hey, I got a question for you, Steve, just out of curiosity. Yeah. You gave your $200 for your tax stamp, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Was that cashed instantly or relatively instantly, or did they not do that until they shipped the gun to your FFL3?
Oh, no. Through Silencer Co.,
mm-hmm.
the way it works is that once you've got an account there, everything just goes on a credit card, and you can they'll actually bill you like over 4 or 6 months for everything. So whatever the total is, they just divide it by, it's either 4 or 6, I don't know.
Oh, okay, that's
cool. Every month that comes through on your credit card, you just see it come through, and it'll show you what it is. So they're actually fronting the tax stamp dollars for you, and then they're billing it over time.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter because you can't get it anyway. You know,
right,
it's not going to come. If it came in 4 months, it'd be a miracle. So you pay for it over 4 or 6 months, and then somewhere between, you know, 4 and 10 months after that, it shows up. So, but it's a really convenient way to do it. And they've got the trust set up.
And I did mine through Silencer Central, silencercentral.com. Yep. And the same deal. They're setting up the trust. It's just, they make it so easy. It's unbelievable.
I travel for work, and I get down to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and that's where they're located. So I literally walk into their shop.
Oh,
shop
wow.
For the suppressors. I've got three more of them on order. They're addicting. Once there's
sure.
just no reason
that's
to shoot
without. True. Once you start shooting suppressed, you just hate the idea of shooting things that are loud again.
Steve, will you adopt me and Michelle?
Absolutely. Yeah, no problem.
Great.
We can make that work.
Great.
He's got a basement. You guys can stay there.
I shot a little buck with that 308 mountain rifle, and it's really fun where we tree hunt, and it's public land, but there's not that many people around, and so when people are shooting, you kind of know, and then we've got cell phones or radios in or wants to see, you know, who shot what, and that was the first time I'd shot a deer suppressed, and when I got back to camp, and I didn't tell anybody, no one knew I had shot, You know, where normally when you would come back to camp, people would be like, because I don't want to tell you all the details, but it wasn't pretty. It didn't work out exactly how I wanted to. It was my fault. I took a shot I probably shouldn't have taken, and then I had to finish what I'd
started.
I ended up shooting four times. And normally, if you got back to camp, if you'd fired four times, people would be like, you know, what was it? What happened? You know, what's the story?
Sure.
No one even knew because I was shooting away from camp and downwind. Nobody even heard. It's the 308, you know, fired four times. Nobody knew I'd fired the gun. So.
Yeah, we'll send an excerpt of this podcast to all your buddies at the hunting camp just to let them know, Steve.
What a guy.
There you go. They did know. I had to call them. They'd come pick up my deer, so they did find out sooner or later.
All right. Great report there, Steve. I appreciate that. I would encourage more people to consider buying a suppressor. I mean, start the process. Thank you, sir.
Is there anywhere you can't hunt with a suppressor?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some states. Most you got to check the regs. I mean, you can a lot of places. One of the things that's happened, it's been interesting, is that the wait time, I was just looking at the website, actually the Silencer Central, they have view ATF wait times. And so you can look and see, you know, and what's interesting, I'm looking at it right now, the average wait time, let's see, January of 2020 was 283 days, but in September of 2020, it's 193 days. So the wait times were getting shorter through at least September of 2020. That's the all the information I have.
That whole thing doesn't sit well with me. It's like you can do a background check to buy a pistol, a rifle, shotgun. You know, in minutes they have an answer for you.
Exactly.
But for a suppressor, it's going to take a year.
Yes. I mean, now imagine that David Chipman gets in and head of the ATF.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he says, well, you know, I'm just sorry we're doing these as fast as we can, but now we're at a 3-year wait on these.
Yep.
And, we never stopped processing them. It's just taken us a while because they cut it down to one, person who's, blind and can't hear and trying to do the work.
Right. And the ironic part is that, criminals aren't buying suppressors legally anyway. They're not using them as far as I know. And if they are, they would make one.
You can make them yourself. They're not difficult at all.
It's ridiculous.
This is all ridiculous. And there's no reason in the world that we're having to be paying a tax and having to wait and say, Mother, may I, to buy a muffler.
Mm-hmm. To be civil.
To be civil.
We're way past break, by the way. Friendly reminder.
I'm not even going to be civil about it. So there.
That'll
work. Back in a sec.
Introducing Kimber's Micro 9 Repeat Black Ice. All the attitude of the original, now in a 9mm subcompact that's like nothing else. Here's just a taste of what you get. A match-grade V-cut trigger, True Glow TFX Pro Day-Night Sights, the Stiplex front strap pattern, slide lightning cuts, and stepped cocking serrations. In other words, the Micro 9 Repeat Black Ice may be subcompact, but it's still big on performance. Find your new everyday carry at KimberAmerica.com.
Visit GunTalk.com/win to enter GunTalk's Double Strike Giveaway for multiple chances to win one of two grand prize packages from Arms Corps Rock Island Armory. Each grand prize includes the new STK-100 striker-fired 9mm pistol, plus two boxes of Arms Corps centerfire 9mm ammunition. The STK-100 features a solid aluminum frame, an optics-ready slide, and an extended beaver tail. Enter now through July 30th at GunTalk.com/win.
Got to. I can hear you breathing. Hello? Hello?
Come in.
Hello? That's when Jim's up there playing in the band and there's nobody responding.
We had a night like that Wednesday.
Did you?
Yes.
Wednesday?
There were four patrons. So my partner and I said, instead of just letting us get to us, let's just pretend like there's people here. So we were pointing to people in the crowd. Hey, thank table number two for that great crowd response. And just silly all night. The end of the night, this guy leaves the bar. He walks up to us. He says, he was physically sitting at the bar the whole evening. Mm-hmm. He goes, hey, I'm such and such, and I own this place. I'm like, so you want us to pack up now?
Yeah, we're getting thrown out.
We're kind of leaving anyway. He's like, oh, no, quite the contrary. I want to book you again, and I own two other clubs, and I want to have you guys in there in the fall and winter. So well, you never know.
So being goofy pays off.
You never know who's going to be out there.
That is so true. Yeah. You know, I keep waiting for that talent scout to walk up and say, yeah, you got no talent, dude.
Right. I scouted some talent in my day. You're
and
just
you
not
just
one
don't
of them.
Have it.
You ain't it. I could have told you that.
Yep.
Oh, well. So, all right. So, if people are paying 4 cents for primers and they were up to 25 cents before, what's going on? Are people, did they just get all they needed and they've stopped buying, or are the manufacturers making enough now?
I don't know, because they're still hard to get into the store. So it's been a while since we've had them. But I also wonder, are you taking into consideration the shipping? Because there's hazmat fees on that, too. So
that's
that completely changes the price per.
And I wondered, and I think he said he bought those locally, didn't he? He went into a store and found them.
I thought it was online.
I thought it was online. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're right, because you may be paying, maybe the price is 4 cents, but by the time you get them, you're paying a dime each because of the hazmat fees.
Right.
What are typical hazmat fees?
Oh, maybe $35.
I mean, it's significant. It's enough to where if you're going to have to pay the hazmat fees anyway, go ahead and buy a bunch of them
and try to spread it out over more. Yeah. Okay.
Right. And so I mentioned that I found a site that has blemished bullets. I think it's a it doesn't say, but I think this actually is like a site that Nosler may have set up, or they have a deal with somebody, because they're all Nosler bullets.
Okay.
And of course, I got the new 257 Weatherby coming, right?
Right.
So I need some 25 caliber bullets. Now, I have some Barnes coming. Those are on the way. And they had, typically, partition bullets are fairly expensive, right, Michelle?
Yes.
You know, they just, I mean, it's not unusual to pay $1 a round for the bullets.
Yeah.
And they had blems for 50 bullets for $16.
Wow.
So it's like, well, okay.
Now, these blems don't affect flight?
No, they don't affect, it's like a little bit of a tarnish, a little bit of a something. It's like, just, you might, and what I have found, I've been in the factories when they have the inspectors, and the inspectors, by the way, are all women.
Right.
And they will pull bullets out and kick them to the side, and you go over and pick them up, and you cannot see what it is they saw. Don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, they shoot well, they perform well, because they said, look, we're not going to sell them if they're not going to perform well. If they won't shoot well and they don't perform well on game,
they don't want their name on it. Yeah.
We're going to discard them. Yeah. But these are just cosmetically blemished. And so I'm thinking, well, how many of those do you need? Well, I don't know, but you ought to order like three times that many.
Sure. Well, because they don't offend the deer or the elk when they go through them, right?
No. So, okay. Okay. 25 caliber, 120 grain, partition bullets. Oh, 300 ought to be enough for a lifetime and two or three. I mean, that's because if I shoot 300 deer, it's like we're all having venison.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went ahead and just bought 300 of those for reloading.
Oh, cool.
So,
grandkids are going to learn how to reload, are they?
That's right. Exactly right. Come in here, kid. Let me show you something that'll be useful to you.
Isn't that how you learned?
It is exactly how I learned.
Yeah, sure
it is.
Right.
Here, sit here. They chain you to the chair, and you know, when you, after you've loaded 1,000 rounds, we'll come feed you.
Bring a sandwich.
So, yeah. No, and we were using felt wads in shotgun shells.
Wow.
Yeah, old school.
As opposed to felt recoil.
Yeah, there's felt recoil, which is a whole different deal. You are a strange little man.
Yeah.
To quote
I'm an odd
Buzz
bird.
Lightyear.
Yes.
So I heard somebody, when we were talking about the Ruger LCP Max that they came out with. And then somebody online was just going on and on about, why would anybody carry a 380? 380 this, yada, yada. And, of course, they get the chest-thumping He-Man stuff and going, okay. So I've seen some of the tests, but we're going to, in two or three weeks, we're going to get Jeff Hoffman on here from Black Hills Ammo. And he has shot all of this stuff into ballistic gelatin and recorded the videos and knows what works. And we're just going to ask him up front. I mean, 45, 40, 9, 380, you know, spell it all out. And clearly, obviously, bigger is going to perform better. But is there some point where you say that's not good enough, or are they all good enough?
Yeah, diminished returns at some point, right?
I've shot the 380s into ballistic gel next to 38s, and the penetration is almost exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit lighter bullet, but still, you know, not bad.
Especially when you consider how many extra you can carry versus a 45.
And how small the gun is. Mm-hmm. A teeny tiny little LCP. And then I really think there's a really cool sweet spot, Michelle, of a slightly larger 380.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several of those out there. And you get the easiest slide to operate there is. Even easier than like the Shield EZ mm-hmm. and 9. An EZ and 380 is the most amazing thing.
It's like butter.
You can flick the slide open just by putting your finger on it and flipping your finger. It's crazy how easy they are.
Just by looking at it.
That's right. You just look hard at it, and the action will work. There you go. You pull it out of the holster, and you just shake it.
Bam. Yeah. It's there.
So all those movie guys were right. You take that gun and just kind of flip it. Flip it out
flick
there.
It. That's right.
You flick it. There you go. That's how you work the slide. I always like it when they draw a gun out and you hear the sound of a slide rack just from drawing the gun out of the holster.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Wait, what was that? What just happened?
Or revolver.
You know, the stupid stuff. Oh, the one I like, maybe the one I hate the most. I don't know. And it's otherwise, it's not a bad show. It's a NCIS New Orleans.
Right.
Right? Scott Bakula does a pretty decent job with it and everything. But they've got... These guys have an office in downtown New Orleans, and the doors are wide open to their office. And whenever he gets a call and has to go out somewhere, he goes to a locking file cabinet, opens it up, and pulls his gun out.
Yeah.
Look, if you're law enforcement, or if you are legally allowed to carry a gun, and you're in downtown New Orleans, you had damn well better have your gun on.
Yeah.
Because it's just one of those places you need.
One of a few.
Well, I've never figured that out. As a cop, why are you taking your gun off and putting it anywhere else?
Because some stupid producer decided that's a nice little piece of business, they call it, where they have to go do something all the time. This is the business. So when we're ready to go, we'll show by putting on our gun. It's like, you know.
He's suiting up for battle.
You know, would Matt Dillon ever not be wearing his gun? Come on.
Right.
Gunsmoke?
Right. Right. No.
Really? So.
In the bathtub can get a little cumbersome, but.
Oh, God. What was the movie where the guy was in the shower and had his gun with him?
Silly boy. They only took baths once a week.
This is true. If they were lucky. Or no, if we were lucky.
Yeah. Oh, God.
There was some movie. I don't know if it was a Western. The guy was taking a shower, and the bad guy came in and was going to shoot him in the shower. And the good guy had his gun in the shower with him and shot the bad guy through the door. Some Western. I don't know. It was a Clint Eastwood. I think it probably was a Clint Eastwood movie.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yep.
So we are now in the world of more interesting guns coming out. So it just seems like every 2 weeks there's, we had a year there where there was nothing new coming out.
Right.
They were just trying to get stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now there's new stuff coming out all the time. You know, the LCP Max. I think, I just see that SIG has something new? I think they do. I have to go back and look.
Yeah, I read it.
They've got their small XL.
Ah, mm-hmm. Okay. I knew it was something.
I know it. Tom looks at me like, what? It's a, yes.
What? Small XL.
He's like, small XL?
It's an XL, but it's a small.
It's
a small extra large.
Right.
What? What? Okay.
Well, the S is for slightly.
It's a smarge.
Smarge. It's got like a medium.
That's right.
Nice.
I did have a chance, by the way. We do, well, maybe it's still there. I'm not sure. The LCP Max 380. Yep, did get that in my hands.
Oh, what'd you think?
Yeah. You pick it up, and not that I have the original one to compare it to, so
right.
I have to go off of memory, but, I mean, it doesn't feel bad, and then you have an accessory 12-round mag.
Yeah.
So
plus a little wider in the grip. It's like a tenth of an inch wider.
Yep.
Just enough, and it's weird how that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's a specialized tool. I'm not sure it would want to be my everyday carry, but there are times and places.
Yep, there's places for it. I was going to say, you know, especially amongst women, although some of those small guns can be very hard for inexperienced women to shoot. You know, but it all has its place, even for men, as a backup gun or, you know, just something small to be able to carry and yet still get something done. And the fact that something that is really like my palm size being 12 rounds is...
Right, 12 plus once, you got 13 rounds.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
13 chances to say go away.
Right.
You don't see people lining up to get shot with a 380.
Not recently, no.
Yep.
So, and the sights are better on it. The trigger pull is typically small pistol, not very good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the reality of it. They're not horrible, but nobody's going to, you know, try that trigger and go, oh, man, that's really nice.
Right, smooth, right.
That's just not what that's all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's good enough.
And you won't be thinking about trigger pull in the heat of a battle.
No.
As I say, you will be fully adrenalized.
Right. Mm-hmm. You won't feel recoil. Yeah, nothing.
They tell you, you don't even hear the gun going off.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to grasp, but I've heard that often.
It is, yeah. So I kind of liked our guy Luke, who had done the first-person offender.
Yep. He was cool.
I think he's still processing all that. When he started kind of replaying it, it was almost like his voice was getting shaky, like he was right back in the middle of it.
I picked up on that, too, yeah. And I wondered, like, mentally, where does that put him? Does that put him into a, like you said, a PTSD type of situation right now, but then...
He might
growth
be more,
from that.
More aware next time.
Right? Because he still was, as he said, it took me 4 days to be able to even figure out.
What happened?
To remember,
right.
Remember that.
I get that. I mean, the first time I did Force on Force, it is so overwhelming. And it's one of the reasons that, you know, SWAT guys do that all the time to the point where that's just a day at the office with stuff coming at you here and there. So they get to the point where they can think while they're doing it. Because when it's happening the first time, you can't think at all.
Right. I mean, I've seen reports even where their heart rate is within normal limits while they're doing that stuff because of the training.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. And for most of us, it's like, okay, the first time you do it, it's overwhelming. The second time, it's a little better. Third or fourth time you do it, you're going, okay, I'm getting this. I can figure this out. Now I understand I have to be problem solving through this. And if you go, and I get it that most people are not going to go take this kind of training.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. It's involved, it's expensive, it's, you know, time consuming, yada, yada, all the rest of it. But if you did, you would be so much better prepared that, you know, it would be night and day in how you would react and how effective you would be.
Including the aftermath.
Including the aftermath and including your confidence level. And if you're smart, that equates to, I really don't want to have to do this, and being more aware and alert and better at avoiding. You know, not making you more likely to use it, but actually less likely to use it.
Uh-huh.
So, I was just reading a piece on Steve Tarani's website, who, of course, you know, he's always so good about talking about using your mind and avoiding stuff. And he's talking about, you know, visual cues, and says if you see somebody who suddenly starts paying a lot of attention to you, that should be a cue that there's something going on.
Hmm.
You know, it's just like normally people are not like staring. If somebody in a bar, in a restaurant, someplace just really is like locked in on you, there's something going on there and you need to pay attention to it. It may not be something that is a call to action necessarily.
Oh, you don't think you should yell out, "You looking at me?"
I think it works, and probably putting a couple rounds through the ceiling, too. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing bad can come of any of that.
You're looking at me. No, sure. Oh, man. You know, it's an interesting place where we are with the availability of guns and ammo and everything. I mean, guns are pretty available. What are you guys seeing?
I think they're becoming more. It's not like you have all of the options available to you, but things are becoming a little bit more accessible. I still can't call up and get you know, Smith & Wesson pluses of any variety that I want. But, you know, there's variations of them out there.
But you have things on the shelves.
Right. And it's funny because what one distribution area has and offers to you isn't what another company has and offers to you. So, you know, you really do have to work across.
Yeah.
Well, and depending on where I am on the list, you know, of what they have
versus
who they've given one to and have to move forward to give somebody else an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's stuff like that. But, you know, it's better. And I think the desire is still out there from you know, most people of owning something or training. A lot more people coming in and just shooting as well. So ammunition still isn't the best, but, you know, it's hopefully going to catch up with itself here in the next several, I hope, months, but probably not until another year, like they say.
I think another year is right.
Yeah.
And I would love to say, gee, it's going to come back down to where it was, but the cynic in me says, I don't know that it ever will.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that we're going to be seeing, you know, $9 for a box of 9 millimeter.
I mean, that used to be the thing, right? It was a race to the bottom of who had the cheapest nine.
It was.
And now it's just a race to say, hey, I have nine.
Yeah.
So and, it's definitely changed.
In the business, that's what they call it, the race to the bottom. Who can get their prices so low that they actually start losing money?
Well, that's, yeah, right?
It is true.
Yeah.
And it's why companies like Federal brought out the premium line of ammo so they could actually charge more for ammo. It's why Hornady, you know, a lot of their ammo is not necessarily the cheapest, but they're really good at marketing and saying this is a better quality ammo, and they've established that in people's minds, so they will actually pay more for it. So all these companies, they've got like a line of white box, Winchester, the cheap stuff, and then they have the higher end, and that's like Ford. You know, they don't make a whole lot on a little car, but man, on F-150s, they make a lot of money on those.
Right, and I think Hornady has that too. You know, they have their Lake City boxed ammo, and then they have their custom light ammo, depending on the amount of recoil you want. So, you know, I think they are making I guess it's a couple of things. They're playing toward the end result, what you're going to use it for, but also the user itself. So, you know, if it's youth or women or even an elderly person that doesn't want a lot of recoil, I mean, you can really mix it up with the ammo. Obviously, in the days when you can just find whatever you want, but, you know, you can still do that.
Do you remember the Hornady Vampire ammo?
Vampire ammo.
They had ammo for vampires.
Yeah. It was the zombie ammo.
Zombies. Yeah. That's right. Zombie. Thank you.
And at the same time, MTM had their zombie ammo cans.
I thought Ted had some too, didn't he? Didn't Ted have a line of...
That's right. I forgot it was zombie. That's right.
Yeah. His green box. Yeah.
Green box, yes.
Oh, yeah. Great job by Steve.
Well, no. Here's the funny part. Steve thought that was like the dumbest idea in the world. And said, no, we're not going to do that. And Jason, his son, this is the story I was told, right? Jason, his son, who was actually at that point running the company, he said,
we got to do this.
Don't pay attention to Dad. And he made like ordered up a zillion boxes of this ammo.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I don't know what the reaction was when Steve heard about it. But when they sold it all, it was probably a pretty good reaction.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but it ran for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it did. And they sold a lot of
yes,
that
they
stuff.
Did.
I remember the box, yeah. I'm still going back to Steve's call, our caller we had from North Dakota. He was talking about going on a tree hunt. And I was just wondering, how do you field dress those? You got to
have a wood chipper.
Do you?
Oh.
Yeah. Tied to the top of your car and a little tag hanging from it.
That's right. We'll just log that one out.
Oh, boy. Certain furs are more desirable than others.
leave us alone.
That's right. We're going to take a different branch on this one.
Oh, gosh.
Get to the root of the problem.
Oh,
gosh. And we're done.
Yeah, we're looking for an out. I think we just had about four of them.
Make like a tree. We got to make like a tree and leave.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. This is our program. It's all timber.
Oh, I'm just going to chlorophyll you in on this.
Oh.
You know, if you won't hang up on me, well, I'll just keep doing this. So there you go.
Well, it's weird.
Easy enough.
You wouldn't be the first one either. So there.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
Got rid of him. All right, well, I think I'm going to use that as a cue to leave you two alone.
I feel so isolated.
It worked. It worked. No. The show.
Oh, gosh. Well, all righty, guys. If as I hear more stuff going on out there, I'll put it on Twitter, and there's a lot of breaking news that's going on like every single day, so people want to keep up with it. Follow me over there, because there are a lot of things that happen in the week between the shows.
Yeah, and call your reps about Chipman, please.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And then, like, more than once. I love the idea. Somebody said, call their D.C. office, but then find their regional offices in your state for your senators to call all of those. Each one of those is a check mark.
Yep.
So if they'll say, yeah, we got all these calls. Well, it may have been you know, logging into six different places, but it's just six phone calls. How hard is that? And they have the phone numbers for all of those on their website. So call and say absolutely no to Chipman. And while you're at it, go ahead and hit up Joe Manchin in West Virginia. Because, I mean, I think he could end up being the key to the whole thing.
Ready?
There you go. Good reminder. You guys have a great week.
You as well.
You too, buddy.
Bye.
Bye, bro.
Well, that wraps up another Gun Talk After Show. But if you want even more gun-related stuff, don't forget to check out Gundealio. It's the app for Apple and Android phones that connects you to all the Gun Talk shows, plus even more. And we'll catch you next time for the Gun Talk After Show.